Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Craig Unger, Federal Detention Trustee in the Office of the Federal Detention Trustee in the U.S. Department of Justice. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Did I get that title right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, great. Well, perhaps you could begin by telling us the missions and the responsibilities of the Office of the Detention Trustee.
Sure. Congress created the Office of Federal Detention Trustee to manage the increasing detainee population, to exercise financial control, and to identify and implement efficiencies in the federal detention operations. The mission of our office is to provide safe, secure, and humane detention services on behalf of the Marshals Service, who are holding pretrial and pre-sentenced prisoners, and also on behalf of the Immigration and Naturalization Service, holding illegal aliens awaiting either adjudication or removal from the country. In my opinion, the creation of our office was certainly a progressive step for the federal government, as I see a great opportunity to both assist agencies involved in providing detention and to generate some cost savings on behalf of taxpayers. The current agencies, as I said, performing are the Marshals and the INS predominantly. The Federal Bureau of Prisons also plays a supporting role, though their primary mission is the incarceration of federal inmates, that is, the persons that have been both convicted and sentenced for a federal crime. But they also house several thousand prisoners on behalf of the Marshal Service and some aliens on behalf of the INS.
Is there a natural division of labor then to think about who's handling what? The Bureau of Prisons is handling criminals, and you're handling illegal entrance into the country. Is that, do I understand that correctly?
Essentially, two types of detainees that I'm responsible for, and we'll distinguish between inmates. Again, inmates have been convicted, incarcerated. That's the Bureau of Prisons' primary role. The detainees break down further into two elements, and the first being prisoners, those people that have been charged, that are pretrial, charged with a crime, and are either awaiting the adjudication of their case, or if they have been convicted, they're awaiting sentencing and they're under the custody of the United States Marshal Service. The other half of the detainee that we're responsible for is the illegal aliens in the custody of the Immigration and Naturalization Service. And again, those folks are being detained either awaiting adjudication of their administrative case, or their case has been adjudicated and they've been given a final order of removal. So they would be in one of those two categories.
How many detainees fall into your office's jurisdiction?
The total number now is approximately 63,000. That's the average daily population. That may be misleading in that the length of stay is somewhat different than perhaps an inmate that may be convicted, serving a longer sentence. The average length of stay in the Marshal Service is about 8 months. The average length of stay in the INS is about 37, 38 days. So they're turning over quickly. Those two agencies took into custody over 315,000 detainees last year. Again, so the number is if you ask me what the count is this week, it's around 60,000 plus. But they take in a bit more than that in the process of a year.
How many facilities do you utilize for detention?
Good question. At any given day, for instance, we've completed a study that the Congress directed us to perform a needs assessment and a baseline report. And we, at any given day last year, the Marshals and or the INS used over 1,900 facilities nationwide. That could be state, it could be local, it could be a private facility or federal. So they had at least one person at least one night in 1,900 facilities. However, as the fiscal year end closed, for instance, as a snapshot, September 30th of last year, there were approximately, I think it was 756 facilities that we had a person in at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've explained the difference between a detainee and the other type of people that are incarcerated. So I'm curious, are you detained for because you're here illegally or you're waiting a trial? I'm trying to understand like why you would be detained.
Again, I presume you're talking about the INS side.
Right.
With the Marshal prisoner, you're obviously indicted and you're charged with a crime or you've been apprehended briefly by a law enforcement agent, FBI, ATF, what have you, until such time as you're turned over to the custody of the Marshal Service. On the illegal alien side, the predominant, looking at some of the statistics last year, for instance, about 1.7 or closer to 1.8 million apprehensions occurred, mostly along the Border Patrol. Again, either picking up or apprehending folks that did not have the proper documents to enter the country. Now, of course, we didn't detain that many, but that is the front-end entry. I don't know if that answers your question. But
no, it does, and I understand there's a trend where the folks that are coming into the United States illegally also have criminal records, that's become more and more of an issue. Is that true?
That is true. We're seeing somewhat of a change in the makeup of the alien population that we're holding. And again, back on the study we have done years ago, it was a very small fraction of those folks entering our country. A lot were simply coming here trying to either seek employment or go to school, or they were for seeking persecution from their host country. However, as of recently, we have seen the criminal element, those that are aggravated felons that have a previous criminal history, now exceed 65% of the INS's population. So that makeup is changes the strategies in the way that we can house those folks on a temporary basis.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what kind of management challenges does that present?
Well, again, yesteryear, a lot of the detention facilities were in dormitories type, where several people could be held in sort of, I'll call it a squad bay with a military background. However, when you get a little more aggressive potential behavior, it's certainly easier to manage if they're individual cells or a way to isolate various population trends. So also on your question of, I mentioned the Border Patrol on the apprehension end of it. Of course, there's other ports of entry that INS inspectors and customs and investigators that are making apprehensions also.
Your office is relatively new. Could you tell us how it came to be established?
For more than a decade, the Department of Justice Inspector General has identified detention as one of the top 10 management challenges in our agency. And it's proportionately grown over the years to it's significantly consuming certainly a lot of resources. The detention element alone this year, just those folks that I mentioned earlier, those numbers, are approximately 10% of the entire DOJ budget. If you add in those incarcerated inmates of the Bureau of Prisons, so you look at detention and incarceration combined, it's over 25%, a quarter of the entire DOJ budget. So it is certainly a program that's big. It has been growing at a pretty phenomenal rate. Again, we looked at, in our study, from 94 to 2001, the data we pulled, and we showed that the population grew from approximately 25,000 to again, over 60,000 today. That's an increase of 130% in a 7-year span. So just the magnitude of the program is certainly large. And then trying to get some consistencies in the conditions of confinement that detainees are being held, and trying to perhaps capitalize on some economies of scale from a holistic, from a Department of Justice standpoint, as opposed to each individual agency acquiring and administering their detention bed space in a sort of a stovepipe approach.
Now, tell us about your specific responsibilities as the Federal Detention Trustee.
Well, my responsibilities include, again, it's new, so first and foremost are strategic planning, policy development, and just overseeing the detention operations from a department perspective. I think it's important that we advocate on behalf of the INS and the Marshals. They certainly have unique needs. Detention is not detention. There's certainly a separate requirement for an alien that's being held administratively versus a prisoner being held criminally. So we understand there's unique differences in those populations, but there's also, I think, some opportunities to capitalize on some economies of scale on the similarities where we perhaps could both elevate the quality of care, perhaps the proximity to the courthouse or the port of entry, and then of course trying to save some dollars. My specific responsibilities, tasks we're going to be undertaken include administering these, as I mentioned earlier, almost 1,900 interagency agreements and contracts that we have with detention providers nationwide, reviewing existing detention practices and developing perhaps some alternatives that will improve efficiency and be cost effective, and developing and implementing strategies to deal with some hot spots, some crisis locations in particular spots in the country that we perhaps can zoom in on and provide immediate relief to those front-end law enforcement agencies that are have quite a burden in every day trying to just find a couple more beds for those people that have been apprehended that day. We're also developing and implementing monitoring a compliance program that we've worked with that PricewaterhouseCoopers had developed earlier with the department prior to my office coming into existence, and we've assumed that role of trying to put some detention stands, some core standards and policies and procedures in effect that we can monitor. And then finally, is forecasting the detention needs in the future that we can be prepared to have beds where we need them, when we need them, and hopefully at an affordable price on behalf of all the law enforcement agencies.
That's a good stopping point. We've got to go to a break. Come back with us after the break as we continue our conversation about management with Craig Unger of the Department of Justice. This is the Business of Government Hour.